thank you so much for your welcome. It's so good to be here with you. Bruce and I have been started our church in Harndorf. We didn't actually start it in Harndorf, but we started at C3 Adelaide Hills 29 years ago. So we've been pastoring for 29 years, and we now have three locations. So one in Harndorf, one in Parkside, which is on the way to the city, and then one in Henley Beach, which is on the other side of the city. We love working together and pastoring and seeing people's lives set free. And that was just a great message too. We love your pastors. We're very thankful to them for having us here as well. And they're great in ease. They are. That's right. Let's give them a hand. They're amazing pastors. They're so easy to oversee because every time we have a call or anything, they've got their list of questions they want to ask us, and it's really good that they want to learn because you need to know that. They're wanting to learn, they're wanting to be able to talk about things and have a space to be able to talk about things, and that's what we hope to provide for them too. So just a little bit about ourselves. We have been married for 45 years. We have three children who are all married, and we have 11 grandchildren. Our kids have been busy. But they actually are all pastors. Was never our dream. My dream was that they would be serving in the house of God, and we actually said, no, don't pastor. It's a hard job. But they felt the call of God on their lives. So eldest son and daughter-in-law are in Queen Bean, which is just out of Canberra, and they started C3 Queen Bean about 5.5 years ago. Doing gangbusters there, they're having a great time there. And then our daughter and son-in-law are a location pastors in Harndorf. And then our youngest son and his wife are the location pastors at Parkside. And then we have another couple that are the location pastors at Henley Beach. So we've enjoyed the journey. We're sort of on a step back of that. So we oversee them all, and so we travel between them all and come and see people like you and all sorts of other people. We've been going into Europe for almost 20 years, 18 years, and to Czech Republic and Bulgaria and a few places like that. We also have some mission teams, and we go with them into Fiji and build some houses. So around the place and doing lots of different things. So our congregations, when we come back to them, we go, oh, hi, and they go, oh, who are you? Not quite. But we love being, and we want to just thank you once again for having us here. And we just hope that today you are blessed by God, by words that you hear, songs that you've sung, somehow or other God's really touched you and touches you today. Amen. I won't say any more because I will leave it to Bruce.
Well done. Thank you, Julie. Yeah, very good. Well, it is a great pleasure to be here at Kwinana with you beautiful people, and we count it a great privilege to be overseers in C3. We've been doing that for 22 years. And we've overseen lots of different contexts, and we've always loved getting to know the pastors and the leaders and the people who make the church in that particular location shine. So I'm talking about you. You and we, to myself, we can seriously underestimate how valuable we are to our local church. We can find ourselves at times being jaded or just like ho-hum or, yeah, whatever, to a prayer meeting, or just finding it's like, well, would anybody notice if I wasn't there? And I want to tell you that the church here gathered notices when you're not here, because you're an important part of the picture here, and I'm going to explain that in this message this morning. I didn't do it at Freo, I forgot to do this, but I want to bring greetings when we come as overseers. We are overseers because C3 Australia is a family of churches across the nation. So we bring greetings from Lars and Megan Halverson, who are the national directors for C3 these days. Beautiful couple, they're dear friends, a great couple of go-getters for God. And so we bring greetings from C3 Australia to you. It's really important at times, I think, to remember that you're a great church in and of your own right. There's no two ways about that. But you're part of something, a way bigger picture, of very much like-minded and like-spirited people across this nation who are gathering. And every C3 is different. Every C3 church we've ever visited is different, yet they all feel like home. We can walk in the door of a C3 church anywhere in the world and go, oh, this feels good. This feels familiar, and it's nothing like our church at home, and your church is nothing like ours at home. But it still feels like I'm amongst a bunch of friends and people that are on the same page when it comes to God. And so, greetings aside, let's get into this message, okay? This is going to do you good. anyone's, someone said amen. This is going to do you good. You know, preaching is one of the most incredible gifts that God's given anyone to get to do within the context of the kingdom. I count it a great privilege, but it's really important to understand how important it is to hear preaching, because the Bible talks about that faith rises up by hearing the word. You can hear the word by reading it to yourself. If you look at your Bible on your own, by yourself, in a devotional space, every now and then just decide to break out big time and read it out loud. Okay, so you can read the Bible to yourself. I don't read out books that I read loud. I'd drive Julie nuts if I did that. I do silent reading. And we can just learn to only do silent reading of the Bible. And it sort of gets in here, and what we're reading can get in here. There's no two ways about that. But sometimes your ears and the other parts of your mind, mine certainly do, need to hear the words. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength. I can just read that to myself. But if I actually am in the middle of a little bit of a problem and I start to declare that God is our refuge and strength, all of a sudden I'm hearing a word of encouragement coming into me from the outside. And so his words are incredibly powerful and a wonderful means of aligning our lives in the middle of whatever's going on. So this message is built around his kingdom, the kingdom coming. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus instructs his disciples to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." And I've often wondered, why would he get his disciples, and by default, you and me, to pray that? Because surely his kingdom's going to come regardless. It's like his will is for his kingdom to be extended to the lives of every person on the planet. Like, why do I need to pray that? And I've come to the conclusion that it's really helpful at times to just adjust the way I look at a scripture, and what's literally in the words there isn't always as clear as it appears to be at the first read. If you notice that, you can read the Bible, and I've been reading the Bible since I was a kid, being saved since I was 17, so that's nearly 60 years ago, 50 years ago, 50, sorry, oh yeah, 50 years ago. Telling the truth, just can't do maths, 50 years nearly, yeah. And it never ceases to amaze me that the Bible, with scriptures that I've read hundreds and hundreds of times, just out of the blue, boom, it's like, oh, I never saw that before. And so as I read this earlier in the year, this scripture, and I started to meditate on it, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." I was thinking, well, how does that work, Lord, and what's that all about? And I came to this conclusion of, when I preach, I like to have analogies, things that help. So as I'm preaching this morning, oh, that picture's good enough. I'm going to say, can you put that graphic that's been up behind the songs, the exploding, whatever they are, chalk balls or whatever they are. That's pretty intense. I like to use analogies, so just bear with me. So a little bit technical, because I'm a guy. I'm not talking about cooking or sewing or any, that's pretty sexist anyway, but anyway, I won't go there. Just imagine, as you're sitting here this morning, well, don't imagine, this is a truth. Somewhere in Perth, there is a television transmission tower, or a number of them, transmitting the signal to watch a program on television right now. If you were to turn this onto a channel on the TV channel system, you could be watching a replay of the rugby, replay of the football last night. You'd be watching something about how to cook cakes, how to clean the house, how to get dog hair out of your nose. I don't know. There's all sorts of things that are... My point is, that information is passing through you right now, and you got no idea. It's not having any impact on you, but that data is relentlessly, continuously flowing through you and looking for something. It's actually not really looking for something. It's not intelligence, but it's actually designed to find something. It's designed to find an antenna and a screen. And as soon as it does, the antenna amplifies that signal. The television says got more capacity to decode that information, and all of a sudden, data that's going to just keep going until it hits something it can't pass through is going to keep doing that until it encounters an antenna and a screen, and all of a sudden it's displaying what it was intended to display. Does that make sense? Okay, and that's how the kingdom works. Let's just think for a minute. God, in the center of his universe, spoke a word thousands of years ago, "Let there be light." And his will and purpose and his intention for his creation to be with him has never changed from that moment in time. And so, in a manner of speaking, his word is proceeding through time and space continuously.
His kingdom is a kingdom of light. It's a kingdom of love. It's a kingdom of mercy. It's a kingdom not built around revenge. It's a kingdom built around love that transcends understanding. It's built around peace. It's built around joy. All those attributes of God are passing through every human being 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, looking for a place to rest and be displayed. Now, you don't have to have an antenna sticking out of your head. The analogy gets to this point. I'm preaching, you're listening. You might have been reading, you might have had a friend witnessing to you about Jesus. They, me, other Christ followers are showing you, they're displaying the kingdom to you. But Jesus said these very troubling words in John. John's gospel, when he was praying for his disciples, he's talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee that came to him in the middle of the night. He'd seen Jesus cast demons out of people. He'd seen miracles happen. And he was convinced that Jesus was someone special, but he didn't quite get it. He was still caught up in his legalistic mind. And he was asking Jesus these questions. And Jesus pretty brutally says to him, "Hey, mate, let me just give it to you straight. That no one can see the kingdom without being born again." And this guy's like, "Hey, what? You mean I've got to go back in my mother's womb?" He just missed the spot altogether. So the point of church, the point of this gathering, the point of your faith in Jesus is to display enough of his love, enough of his peace, enough of his goodness to others so that they'll believe. The moment they believe, they see the kingdom inside their own heart. That's what we're on about, right? You and I are here because we got saved. If you got saved and you love Jesus, you're here because you love him. But that's not the end game. His end game is that you would then begin to display his love. Is this making sense? Okay, so we're going to get the picture to come a little bit clearer as we go. So I asked this question back in Frio. Those of you that are old enough, remember the television advertisement for Vegemite. This is a long time ago. I'm a happy little Vegemite. Is that as bright can be? We all adore a Vegemite for breakfast, lunch and tea. Okay, well, I want you to be... Yeah, that's just right. What we want to do now, though, is just change the thought around that. I'm a happy little pixel. So a pixel's part of a picture. There's millions of pixels that are making up that picture on the screen. And the one that was in the background, the one that's moving, millions of pixels. The one I love about this one, because it's moving, is the kingdom of God's not a picture. It's a movie. It's something that's come, and it's going to keep coming. And it's going to keep getting more and more either complex, not in a way to confuse us, but more complex in the sense of how awesome is this? So you might start off with a little ball in the middle. Let's just say you cop a little pocket of peace when you first believe Jesus. But he keeps sending peace from his kingdom. Now you're a believer, you keep receiving it. And the picture starts going bigger and bigger, and all of a sudden, rather than just being, "Oh, I got the peace of God, how good is that, I'm feeling wonderful," that's a good day, right? That's a really good day. I'm feeling the cleansing blood of Jesus in my heart, and I'm set free from the power of sin and death. Oh, that's so good. That's a wonderful day too. But that's not the end game. That's a stepping stone in his purpose for him to keep bringing that incredible salvific dimension of his love for each person to keep flowing through you and through you until the point where you're so full of it. Anyone ever told you you're full of it? Well, I'm full of it. I'm full of, I don't want to tell you what I'm full of. I'm full of peace. And I know it. And I can give it away. Why? Because I'm full of it. And so his kingdom keeps coming to you until you can't hold any more inside of your being, and you've got to let it go. You've got to give it away. And you don't run out of it because you give it away. You don't run out of it at full stop. You just keep giving it away, and he keeps bringing it in. And so I want to tell you a little pixel. And so you're purple, you're white, you're green, you're blue. You might be shade of brown today. You're just bright white, shining like, man. And the wonderful thing about pixels in a picture like this is when they're assembled in a particular order alongside each other, the picture takes shape. So you've got to understand this. Jesus said these words to his disciples in Matthew 16, I will build my church. So he got on the stage up at Frio. It's a bit freaky though. So I just need a couple of people. Can you stand up? It's Andrew, right? Just come and stand here, sir. I want you to stand right there. This lady here, are you happy to get out of your seat for a moment? You don't have to do anything. I'm not going to scare you out. Okay, just come and stand. Oh, just alongside this guy. Out there somewhere's good. Elvis, why don't you come and just join him? Actually, we might just, let me move it. Can I just move you around? You are there, and you turn around that way, alongside each other, this way.
This way?
Yep, this way's good. Are you happy to get out of your seat for a minute? Okay, you got lots of colours. You're a colourful pixel. I love it. Okay. Now, just these are only four pixels, and I'm Pastor Bruce. But just imagine if Jesus said, I'll build my church. So he's grabbing every pixel he can find, and he's putting together. Why? He wants to show this community around Kwinana a particular picture, moving picture of his kingdom. And he puts you where he needs. So one moment you might be pink, the next moment you're going to be blue because the picture's changing. You're not static. And it's like, well, I want to do whatever he wants. I'm going to just shine bright white today. I'm going to shine bright red tomorrow. It's like, who knows? And so I put these people where I needed them. Jesus wants to put you where he needs you to create a picture for people who don't know him to see what? You can go and sit down. Thank you. What does he want people to see? He wants people to see there's hope. You mean in the middle of all the I was going to say crap. Can you say that in Western Australia about getting thrown out of the church? About all the stuff that happens in life, he's actually real. He's actually, oh boy, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7 describes this. Now unto us a son's been given. And it has a whole lot of descriptors, one of which is he is the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. And then in John's Gospel again, he's talking to, he's praying for his disciples. That's where this part's correct this time, not John 3. This is John about, I think, 16 or somewhere. He says to them something along the lines of, peace I give to you, not as the world gives it. So I thought about that. Peace in the world is the absence of trouble. So if we could get the war in Gaza to stop somehow or other, people stop shooting each other and throwing bombs over the fence, and wherever there's Ukraine, there's all sorts of theatres of conflict. You know what I'm talking about. We're talking about crime, where there's trouble in communities, even in our own country. There's youth crime problems here, and there's this. We would say in a conversation that let's get some peace into our community would be the absence of trouble, right? But that's not how the kingdom deals with peace. Peace is actually something that is completely contextless. Let me explain how. So Jesus in a boat with his disciples is sailing across from one side of the Sea of Galilee to the other. He's had a big day of ministry. He's absolutely tanked. He's just like, I'm done. He's in the back of this boat that's probably, I don't know, maybe lucky to be as long as this room, maybe half the length of this, just a little fishing boat. He's got his head on the pillow and he's catching some Zeds. Massive storm blows up. Coming down the valley into the lake, as does happen on that lake. These fishermen, they're used to this weather, but it's such a severe storm, they're freaking out, they're going to drown. And what's Jesus doing? He's in the back of the boat, sound asleep. They wake him up, shake him, say, Master, Master, wake up. Don't you fear that we're all going to drown? And his response to that is, hey, you of little faith. Like, man, that's pastoral care 101. You of little faith. And then he turns around and has the nerve to talk to the wind and the waves. Be quiet. And they do. They are. Calm comes. When I read that story, it's so easy to get caught up in the narrative as it's presented that the miracle of the storm being calmed is the point of the story. Because that's how it finishes. They marvel that even the wind and the waves obeyed his voice. That is not the point of the story. The point of the story is they were in the boat with the Prince of Peace. They didn't have faith to believe that. It's like the miracle is kind of Jesus putting up with their dimness. Let's just say that. Sometimes we want a miracle just to believe. And he goes, no, it works the other way around. Believe and you'll get a miracle. See, he was saying you guys needed to believe that me, the Prince of Peace, was with you. Had you believed that, this boat could have been going up and down on 20-foot waves and you would have been in the back like me, sleeping like a baby. So we want the storms to be taken away by a miracle. And Jesus wants you to go, you need me. If you've got a storm going in your life this morning, maybe, as Tsunami mentioned, might be a financial storm, but you could have a relationship, a family storm, a crisis of something, a healing issue. I don't know what it is. You know what being human is. It's complicated. And we sometimes just want that complication to stop, the storm to calm down, and, oh, for goodness sake, let's just have a rest period. No, Jesus is saying, don't clamor for a rest period, clamor for me. You need Jesus. You need to actually connect with him. And the only way you can see him clearly is to take the initial step of believing. When we believe, we begin to see the kingdom of God in front of us. It comes out of us. It's revealed to others. Alrighty. What else do I want to say about? Okay, so I'll get to the point of what. So I think it's really, I use the analogy of colours for pixels. But if I said to you, what do people say about you? If I said to you, what would your best friend tell me in a few words that they like about you? What would that attribute be? Oh, great encourager, generous, loving, forgiving, understanding, whatever that is. I want to encourage you this morning out of listening to this message to work out what pixel you are. What colour of his kingdom has he designed you predominantly to carry? And I've worked out what mine is, because I can get worked up. Julie knows that I'm traditionally a pretty patient guy, except when I'm driving, then I'm very impatient with idiots. Just telling you. Anyway, I digress. And amongst my foibles, I've actually worked out that I'm actually carrying the peace of God in me. I can pray for people to be healed. Sometimes that seems to work, like I can pray and a miracle can happen. Pray for people to be set free from demonic oppression, and that's happened. I prayed for a lady in Fiji once that she was demonized. She had horrible headaches, and I put my hand on her head out the front of this outdoor meeting, and I would have sworn there were ball bearings under her skin up here, and it was like they were running around like they were on a, they're like mice, and all these ball bearings, they felt like inside her scalp, and then boom, she hit the deck. I thought, oh, crikey, that was pretty intense. And she got up after quite a few minutes, and I said, are you okay? She said, headache's gone. I'm good. So I can do that. I know that God can use me to do that. But that's very hit and miss for me. I know my sweet spot is, just give me a hand for a minute. I can just say, God, just pray a prayer. Lord, I just want the peace of God that's coming out of your kingdom to flow through right now into this beautiful person. Let that peace flow. Can you feel that? Can you feel something flowing? Like it starts to feel like, to me, I get this sort of weird sensation down my arm. But let me say something clear. Sometimes I can do that and nothing happens. And that's because, I just want to finish with this thought, we've got to learn, we've got to be determined to learn how to receive. It's one thing to give, which is what Jesus did. He gives his life for you, but the offer on the table is for you to always to receive it. And the problem is not in his giving, the problem is in our receiving. We don't receive what he's paid for. He's paid for your life in full, and he wants you to give him your life in full. So you learn to be a receiver. So I use the example, if I had $100 and Andrew was just in there minding his own business, and I said to Andrew, I want to give you $100. Let's change it up. I want to give you $10,000. I've got $10,000 in my pocket here. Billy's big wad of $100 notes. See, you can see them all, right? And I want to give it to him. Say give. I'll say it again, with attitude, give. I want to give that to him. But Andrew's a little embarrassed, a little whatever. And he doesn't actually need $10,000. He doesn't need to. And he says, I don't want it. Is my gift still a gift if it's not received? No, I don't think it is. So as much as God wants to give you a lifeline called Jesus, it's as if Jesus never died for you until you believe. And so the moment you believe, however, you'll find the King does never stop pursuing. His love's never stopped. So make sure you've become a good receiver. Like, receive. If you need healing this morning, just position yourself. God, I've really screwed this up. I don't know how to receive healing. I don't know how to receive forgiveness. I don't know how to receive freedom and peace and joy and love, all those things. I just wish I could get that. Well, just make that your prayer. God, change my antenna shape. Reorientate me so I'm facing the music. Whatever it takes, I want to be a receiver this morning of your goodness. Some of us need to have a cleanse. We're carrying around guilt and shame. Some of us are carrying around burdens that we were never supposed to carry. And we're actually sick because of it. Why don't you today let God give you the freedom that Jesus paid for? Why don't we stand to our feet? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm really absolutely adamant to say that what I'm saying about that peace dimension, as I understand it this morning, if you're in the middle of a storm in your life this morning, there's something just that's troubling you, something that's difficult. Maybe if you've been praying, oh God, deliver me from this mess, you're a bit like the disciples. They wanted the storm to finish. Jesus wanted them to recognize something better. And he dealt with the storm, but he wanted them to understand who they were with. Okay, and so as you stand in this auditorium this morning, he wants you to know who is with you, regardless of your circumstance. So if you need peace this morning, I don't want to embarrass anyone. I'm not going to ask you to come out here. If you slip your hand up where you're standing, I'm just going to come over and I'll literally just pray with you hand to hand and ask for God's peace to fill you. I'll go right down the back to start with. Just keep your hands up and I'll find you. We're just going to spend a few minutes doing this. Thank you, Jesus, for the peace of God that transcends all understanding. Lord, let it flow from out of your kingdom through me, Lord, to this beautiful lady in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Receive it. Here it is. It's yours to have. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This hand was up quick as a flash as well. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you right now for the peace of God. Lord, let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. Here you go. Here you go. Just receive it. Thank you, Lord. You going to be okay there? Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Did you put your hand up, ma'am? Thank you, Father. Let the peace of God transcends all understanding. Just begin to flow afresh. It's almost like I see God cleaning out the pipes almost. It's like to let that beautiful part of his presence flow into you as peace afresh to the very depths of your being. You're going to be strong and peace-filled in the middle of them. Some of the most amazing, challenging circumstances. Maybe you're in the middle of one now, but right now his peace is going to come and surprise you in Jesus' name. Peace of God, rest on your brother. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless this friend of mine. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your peace. Lord, let it be a beautiful moment of exchange, beautiful moment of infilling, beautiful moment of strengthening. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for these two beautiful people. Let's just grab both your hands there. Do you know each other? Friends or family? Friends. That's a good thing to have friends, isn't it? Yeah, sisters in Christ. Father, right now, I just pray, Lord, that the peace that you want these beautiful ladies to have, Lord, would flow into them. Lord, and begin to shift and change them. Make them resilient. Make them bold. But Lord, bring calm to their souls. In Jesus' name. Kind of sense that some of the storms around life aren't going to necessarily disappear. Not because God doesn't want them to, but I think he's going to show you that in the middle of those storms, you're both going to have different ways of being extremely strong and peaceful. And you're going to go, I did not expect to feel like this when this happens. And when that does happen, I want you to remember this moment. All right? God bless you. Has anybody else got their hand up that I've missed? We okay with time? Yep. Is that how are you? Good. How old are you, buddy?
12.
Man, you're going to be a tall fella. Have you stopped growing yet, or you've only just started?
No.
Don't know, man. Lord, I just thank you for 12-year-olds that are actually pushing in to the kingdom with boldness. These young men, Lord, understand what peace is. Lord, I pray over him that he would pick up the canopy of running with what's on me, Lord, being an imparter of peace. This is not just about you getting peace, my friend. It's about you being a peace imparter to others. You're going to have an amazing capacity to help people who are broken feel like life's worth living. You got friends that are maybe really seriously in dark places and very dark parts of their space with thinking negative thoughts. I want to tell you that God's got a mission for you. You keep launching into their world with hope. And at every opportunity you can get, to just even put a hand on their shoulder. You know, don't tell them what you're doing. Just say, hey, it's going to be okay. But you are on a mission. You're imparting that peace into your friends. You got some pretty troubled dudes hanging around. Some that you maybe even ignore right now, but you're going to find God's going to open up amazing opportunities for you to bring the kingdom to your friends. In Jesus' name. Are you part of the youth crew here? Yeah, you're going to bring some new friends to them. Lots of them. Over the years ahead. It's going to blow your mind, buddy. I tell you. Very good. How are we doing back here? Am I coming to see one of you? Yep, okay. All of you? Am I coming to see you first? Peace of God, sir. Let it rest on you. Let it get him from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Just feel it in Jesus' name. Peace of God. Just, here it is. Just calm. Great sense of calm and well-being. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I pray right now that that peace that flows out of your presence would fill this beautiful lady, Lord. I see you being filled, overflowing, and willing to give this away in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Are we done back here? Or over here? Anybody else? Nope, I reckon we're good. Thank you, Lord. Just, you go stand next to your lovely man. I hate the fact that Julie and I got between you. Hey, Rich, just reach your hands out to your beautiful pastors here, guys. We just want to pray for Stephen and Unami. Lord, we pray today that the peace that we've talked about would become a characteristic that's deeper and deeper in both of them, Lord, as they lead this church at Kwinana and the congregation at Fremantle, Lord, that the peace of God would rest on them. They'd just be known for it. People would go, that Stephen and Unami, man, things going on around them in family, church, whatever's going on, but they just seem to stay calm. What's that about? It's the peace of God in Jesus' name. Unami.
Thank you, church. Let's please give a hand to Pastor Bruce. What an amazing message. So much gold in what you've said. In particular, for me, the one thing that stands out is about receiving. And that's my prayer for us here at C3 Kwinana, that we would learn how to receive. That we wouldn't listen to that voice that says you are not good enough to receive. That you're asking for too much. That is my prayer, that we would receive. And that Pastor Bruce has actually left a deposit of something here. Today he has left something. He's left that, he's displayed the peace of God. Now we just gotta, you know, soak in it. Amen? You know, I'll just take a few of your minutes. We are an honoring church, aren't we? As C3 Kwinana. And we like to honor our guests. We would love to honor our overseers. So we're just gonna take a moment. I get you to just sit down so that you're not too tired. We're just gonna honor them and just, you know, I'll get you to just consider how, what you would love to give. Love is the key word. What you would love to give just to bless them. Just to bless them just because of who they are. What they've brought here for us today, but also for who they are for our church here. They do an incredible job, you know, just overseeing us. And like they said, we do have a lot of questions for them, and they play a significant role in our lives. So please just take the time. I think we've got little cards as well that can be filled. Do we have cards? If you don't have actual cash, but you want to fill in the cards, yeah? Can we pass those around? Anybody who wants the card, please just raise your hand. And let's just, you know, out of love, let's just, you know, dig deep and just bless them. Please just play while they do that.